a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native news and events here on Native Roots Radio. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, our sacred animal section of the show, Wendy Pilot will be telling us about a wildlife photographer. And our in-studio guest is Bettina Park, executive director of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we're going to be talking about her and the Wall of Forgotten Natives. And we'll end with our groovy section. My favorite part is, what does my elder think? And we'll be asking my elder, Curtis, on his spin on local and national and Native Ho-Chunk news. We are pre-America. We are the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how the natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are suffering from alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through Indian residential schools. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Native women, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. We pre-exist America. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
The show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe, good food and good friends, and also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, Choka, thank you, Pinigigi. All things are relatives. What we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one, Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, really my beautiful and awesome wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Please tell us your name and what you would like to talk about.
Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, which means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, so I always want to thank him every week for that beautiful name, and I really appreciate it. Yeah, so I just want to go into this right now. So, you know, some Native American tribes, the bear is considered a medicine being with impressive magical powers and plays a major role in many religious ceremonies. Bears are symbols of strength and wisdom and are often associated with healing, since bears continue fighting even after being seriously injured. Robert and I were watching 60 Minutes last week on Sunday night. And, you know, sometimes I'll read a story or watch a story or see a movie where the story kind of sticks to my ribs and I kind of think about it and it's meaningful to me. So I wanted to talk about this 60 Minutes interview by Anderson Cooper. And it's a story about this famous wildlife photographer. His name is Thomas D. Mengelson, and he's a 72-year-old man who still does this wildlife pictures. He travels all over the world. He's been to every continent and just travels and takes pictures of these magnificent, elusive, and endangered animals. He's taken pictures of black rhinos, gorillas, jaguars, grizzly bears, and I'm going to be talking about one particular bear that he kind of befriended over the years. And his pictures are very, very famous. And I went online and I looked at some of them. And I'm going to post the whole segment of the Anderson Cooper 60 Minutes report, and you can just go on. It's just a few minutes long. It'll be on our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, and you can go on there and watch it. But this man, Thomas Mengelson, he sits for hours and hours and hours to get the shot of the animal, sometimes days, sometimes weeks. He even reported that it took him 1 month every day, 14 hours, to get one shot of an elusive cougar that came out in the wild. And his pictures have really sparked awareness of these animals, and his wide shots that he's taken with the animals that show the forest and the mountains in the background really show us that these animals really need their habitat.
So one of the things that was I found interesting, too, is that he's old school. He doesn't use Photoshop or anything. So that's probably why he waits forever for the perfect lighting, magic time. And I thought that was very interesting.
It was interesting. You know, he does, like Robert said, he doesn't use any Photoshop. He doesn't use any filters, no alterations, and he shuns digital manipulation. So all of his photography is like the real old school deal. And the pictures are absolutely amazing. And his pictures have even been mistaken for oil paintings. Wow. That they're so beautiful. In fact, he took a picture in 1988. It's called Catch of the Day. And it's his most famous wildlife photo in the world. And it's a picture of a bear, and the bear is standing there in the river, and the fish is flying in the air, and it's just inside the bear's mouth nanoseconds before the mouth of the bear closes on the fish.
And there was like a gap of an eighth of an inch just before, you know, there you could see light in between the fish and the mouth and the background.
That's right. And it's really an amazing picture, and if anyone could go on and check that out. But he really, he was also really good friends, and Jane Goodall is also in this interview, and she's, her work revolutionized our understanding of primates, so she's wonderful. And so this, so he actually fell in love with this 22-year-old female grizzly bear that he's been watching for the last 10 years. And she doesn't have a name. She is a research bear, and she goes by 399. So he has documented the life of 399, her waking up from a long winter's nap, hunting for food. He watched her raise, give birth to three sets of triplets and a set of twins. So he was always watching and worrying about her, always watching and worrying about her cubs, and the pictures that he has of her and her cubs are really pretty amazing. Also, he said that there were only like 20, I'm going to find my note here, how many grizzlies. Okay, so
I thought you had this memorized.
Yeah, so there's there were over 50,000 grizzlies that used to roam in the United States, and now there's less than 2,000 of them. Mm. So that's really sad to know that they're diminishing, you know. And the thing that really got me with this interview is that he was telling he was saying that he cared about this bear, and that people really should care more about the wildlife and the environment that the animals need. And he said that there were hunters that have come up to him and say that they can't wait until bear season opens and trophy hunting is allowed, because they want to kill 399. Because she's such a famous bear, that would be a really good, you know, shot, and they could kill this bear and just, you know, put her head on their wall. So that kind of really, really made me sad. Then on September 25th, really the day right after this interview, we had a victory. The court restored Endangered Species Act protections for Yellowstone grizzly bears. And this was a victory that came after they fought for many years to to get this protection. Then the very next day, the court attempted Congress to delist the Yellowstone grizzly bears again. So it's kind of up in the air right now, and I don't even know where we are, whether the bears are protected or not, but we really need to call our legislatures. We need to talk to our representatives and tell them that we want to protect these endangered species and these animals that are in the wild. And we also need to, of course, protect their environment, which means to protect the water, protect the land. We can't be, polluting their environment.
Wendy, tell everyone, and I know you've experienced this personally, how important it is to call and how effective it is.
It's very effective. Being a state council member for the Humane Society of the United States, we have gotten so many bills through just by phone calls, just by signing petitions, just by people visiting our Capitol and talking to our representative about certain things. Our representatives, a lot of them, don't really know what's going on, right? And if we don't tell them what it is and show them the facts and come to visit them and talk to them about these issues, they don't really know. So we really need to get to know your legislature, visit them once or twice a year, just so they know you, they know your face, they know what kind of things you care about, and it really makes a big difference.
And us having this radio show, we've really had the opportunity to meet a lot of politicians.
Yes, we
face
have.
To face, and that's been very exciting. Always, Wendy, thank you so much for sharing about our sacred animals. It's very important to us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And we'll be back after a short break with Patina Park, Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Resource Center. She's going to be telling us her story, and we're going to talk about the Wall of Forgotten Natives.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
B Resale, clothing, thrift, and consignment store located at 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis. B Resale, where casual, secondhand men and women's clothes are bought, sold, and traded at this easygoing shop. B Resale, find jewelry, sunglasses, shoes, hats, purses, pants, shirts, and more. B Resale, where you can find Native Roots Radio I'm Awake swag. B Resale, that's a small B, period.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate change. The Bean Factory, just Steve's, roasting beans one day at a time, 1518 Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. And Bee Resale, vintage and consignment, 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis. And we have our t-shirts there, too. So
yeah, you know, get your swag there. It's very important that we support our sponsors, and we also have our t-shirts on Avalon, right?
We have some t-shirts, our Resist t-shirts, at Avalon on Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
Oh, Wendy. So I just want to bring this up before we talk to our guest here. And, you know, this last week at the Duluth City Council meeting this past week, they were telling us that they needed to spend $125,000 on riot gear, which you all know it will be used against water protectors in the upcoming Line 3 struggle. Duluth has not had a riot in 100 years, so it's clear that this purchase is a reaction to the recently approved Line 3. So we talk about calling people. We need to resist, divest, and pay attention to what's going on up there.
Right. November, people need to vote for the sheriff of Hennepin County and for Dave Hutch. So he is the guy that you want. Sheriff Stanek is the one who sent his troops up to Standing Rock to fight the Native American people.
Yeah, he's an Indian fighter, and we want him out. Also, we do not support Fletcher of Ramsey County. He is a possible Indian fighter, and I know from his past he's a violent person, so we'd like the incumbent. We support the incumbent in St. Paul, too. Now to a positive thing to note here. I want to welcome the executive director of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Patina Park, and I want you to tell us your story and tell us, you know, we're going to have you for two segments, and we've talked before the show, and it's just like, wow, this could be three shows. So you have a great story of who you are. Maybe you just want to talk about what you do and then how it's related to our next topic.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun. Hopefully I talk clearly and with a good heart here. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I've been there about 4.5 years now. I came there from Division of Indian Work for a while, and I was working for Ho-Chunk, right?
Oh,
so we're all family here.
Right.
For 18 months, I helped with the Wisconsin Indian Child Welfare rollout. But most of my professional world has been focused on families and mostly and Indian children. I'm a lawyer, but I'm recovering, is what I say.
A recovering lawyer?
I'm a recovering attorney because I don't practice anymore. I'm not even licensed. If you look me up, I'm on the naughty list because I didn't pay my CLE dues. But that's okay because now when people ask me for free legal advice, I just say I'm not licensed. So I can stay away from people's divorces and custody battles and nastiness that people do to each other. Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, we've been around since 85. So in the area for a long time doing amazing work. I was just talking about it yesterday, how it started because a study showed that American Indian women didn't have a treatment option.
Mm.
So we have been providing treatment for Native women for a long time. And so Nokomis and Dodd is a really beautiful program. I'm hopeful. You know, it's kind of connected to the wall because a residency is a, I'm having a residential component for treatment is something we don't have. So
wow.
Sometimes 85% of the women there are homeless. So they leave treatment and then are, you know, sitting in someone's couch or sleeping in a car or not sure where they're going to go while they're trying to stay sober, right? I mean, it really, they're remarkable women, absolutely remarkable women. And so this, you know, some of the planning around this might give us that residential component, especially during the winter. We could make some real change for people. So fingers crossed, right?
Wow, that's amazing. I want to bring that up again. That's just an amazing statement. There's no three-quarter houses available. There's no halfway houses.
Not usually, wow. No. And then with the loss of the Kateri Project, right, we haven't had a property that allows for reunification of women with their children and child protection this whole year, right? They ended taking new clients back in January. So we're also aggressively looking for and hoping that another property will come our way so that we can start doing that service again because it's vital. I mean, Minnesota has the highest out-of-home placement rate in the nation for Indian children. I mean, it's almost at pre-equal levels. Mm. Of the 70s. Yeah, it's bad. So not having that ability to stabilize in housing and let your children come home is hurting and just causing kids to be in foster care longer. So, and we talked before, we're on the air, right, that we're both adopted.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that, too, is why I'm so, like, deeply personally, like, devoted to keeping Indian children with their families. I was blessed that an Indian family found me to adopt, but that was chance, right? Because that was 1970. It shouldn't have happened.
Right.
But I also know after I met my grandma that she desperately wanted to raise me and was 40 at the time. So she would have been healthy and, you know, able to do that, but she was never given that opportunity. So I want to do everything I can to strengthen families for the future generations.
Right. And you know, I just can't stop thinking of the families that Wendy and I, because we'd been up the Wall of Forgotten Natives many times, and there's a bunch of families up there.
Yeah.
There's kids playing on the sidewalk. Like, it's a natural occurrence.
There's women there who have infants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And a woman who was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
Who spoke at the city council hearing a couple weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. So... yeah, and people always ask, even with that, like, what happened? What was the single thing that happened, right? And I usually tongue-in-cheek say, well, first contact.
Yeah.
I mean...
1492.
Yeah. That's really the only single thing you can point to, because it's really the result of, you know, boarding schools and removals and reservations and termination policies and urban relocation and, you know, child protection and foster care and, you know, all of that stuff just building in the families. I mean, it's actually more impressive that we're not 100% hooked on heroin and dysfunction. I mean, given everything that's happened to our community,
and
the resilience really is remarkable.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I don't want to get too far into it, but, you know, I have students, you know, I have an all ninth grade homeroom, a Native American homeroom, and I have one student that 4 years ago, her mother kissed her and her two sisters goodnight and hung herself.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have another one 4 years ago, her mom OD'd. Mm-hmm. And you would not know this by looking at them.
No.
But the hurt and the anger and the misplacement of their people and all these things that just break your heart.
Yeah. And that it's so common, right?
Right.
That's really what's disturbing is just how common it is. I mean, to put it in context, when I go out and talk to non-Native people, I'm like, you know, I don't know anyone, myself included, who's not experienced violence or the next relative, like one level down. Everyone has.
Right.
And that has an impact.
There's a statistic, too. What is it? 3/4 of Native Americans have been...
reported.
Right.
Seattle just came out with that study showing 94% of the women they spoke to said they'd experienced rape.
So that's why we pray for our murdered and indigenous Native women. You know, we're going to catch up more on this. This is pretty shocking for me. I will be right back after a short break when we're with the executive director of Patino Park.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one out of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 53. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 51. Find the 54th Noble Conference, Living Soil, A Universe Underfoot, Tuesday, October 2nd and Wednesday, October 3rd at Gustavus. Learn about the vast diversity and complexity of soil from experts around the world. Find a list of speakers, the schedule, and registration at gustavus.edu/nobleconference.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's, voted 2018's best vegan restaurant by City Pages, Mag Mechanical, on time, on budget, HVAC needs, and Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Oh, and, you know, we really pray for them.
Oh, absolutely. After hearing what Patina had to say, it really opened my eyes even wider. So thank you for that information.
So, hey, I want to welcome everyone back, and where we're here with Patina Park, Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And we're just kind of talking about a lot of heavy things. And we're talking a little bit about why aren't we all heroin addicts? I mean, for what we've gone through and what our people have gone through. And let's talk a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah. Well, the agency I work at, right, we do, I basically sum it up as I try to bring as many services online that will address the harms of colonization. Right. It's faster to say that than to try to say we have housing and mental health and chemical health and SV workers and DV workers and outreach workers and, you know, on and on and on and on. But we really try to meet, and we call them our relatives, right, people who come into the agency, our relatives. We try to meet them where they're at and what they need, whatever that is. So we don't judge. We don't try to force people into programming. We don't force individuals to identify as victim, survivor, or any of that. But we do honor them. And so even like the women that we work with on Lake Street, you know, who live really dangerous lives. Many are struggling with chemical dependency, right? Many are being exploited. To me, every day they survive should be honored, not judged. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they need to do to survive. Mm-hmm. And it's a horrible thing that they have to do that to survive, right? So we should be doing more around making it so they don't have to do that to survive rather than judging them for their behaviors.
Oh, so how are you funded?
Oh, so many ways. Probably the strongest partnership we have that I'm really blessed and honored to have is Fond du Lac, Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. They contract with us as a provider under their self-determination compact. So our mental health and chemical health are billed through the tribe,
wow,
which allows us to have a higher reimbursement rate and more freedom in what we do.
Right.
So the NACOMP, like our CD program, it doesn't just do CD, right? We have equine therapy on Fridays. They go out with the horses, and there's art therapy and massage and acupuncture and, you know, all these other things, and plus all the cultural components. Everything mm-hmm. is embedded with culture and ceremony. So, you know, the women will go, if they've earned the, you know, they're at a place in their recovery where they can travel, they'll go up and see ricing or go participate in ricing or go sugar bushing or, you know, go out in spirit quest out in the, you know, Badlands. I mean, they'll earn kind of opportunities to do these more cultural events. And that really is a huge motivator rather than a gift card or, you know, I was laughing this. I went to Oshkosh and we were talking about treatment. And so many programs, you have to earn the right to, like, call your relatives, you know, like you're on. And then if you do something naughty, they take it away. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's just insane that they expect people to do that. And they say it's, well, they have to focus on themselves. Well, that you need people and relationship to really heal.
Well, I
and
tell
so
you,
that's counterintuitive.
Right. For me, I focused way too much on myself. That's what got me in trouble.
Exactly. Right. I mean, that's true for many people.
Right.
And the other kind of difference where we do is we also recognize that because of the community, it's not like a situation where we can tell people, like, to avoid those people, like, avoid everyone. So you also have to kind of empower individuals mm-hmm. to be in those situations and not be tempted to use.
Right.
Right? I mean, look at Na, right? I mean, there's an excellent example. These are, you know, men and women on the ground in the camp, and they're helping people who are in the depths of heroin and use, right? They're the ones administering the Narcan. They're the ones checking in to make sure they're eating and that they're healthy and they're, you know, surviving in hopes that they will get another day and a change in what how that where they are.
And it's keeping them sober because
Absolutely.
You have to keep it, give it away to keep it, you mm-hmm. know, and that's part of the way of recovery too.
And that's the fatal flaw in most dominant kind of chemical dependency programs. They don't recognize that.
Right. Well, the founders of AA, Woody had, Bill W. had like 3 weeks of sobriety. And what did he do? He went out to try and find somebody, another drunk that needed to be recovered.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so who's to say, you know, mm-hmm. but hey, so, you know, let's talk about the wall now. It's so happening so fast. Everything's happening so fast. I know the first time we went out, Wendy and I went out there, there was 100 people there, and then there was 100 tents, and there was 200 people, then there's 300, and there's 400. Give us an update what you know. I know there's some exciting news, but there's also a lot of question marks going.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, every day you blink. It's like, I mean, we even have moments where like, wow, it was just 5 weeks ago that we really started intensely doing the work. I mean, it feels like years at this point. But yeah, the biggest push in the beam is to find a location, because we all knew once winter comes, that spot is not going to work. Right? I mean,
and that spot is like on Franklin Avenue.
And what's the cross street there?
Minnehaha.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of tents.
Yeah, and it's all along the sound wall that blocks the traffic of Hiawatha from the housing development that's right there, the tall buildings you see off of Franklin. And was that 26th? Or I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Behind Coot Clinic, mm-hmm. right? And it wraps all the way around to the park. I mean, complete, and both sides now. It's not just the wall. It's on the other side
as
well.
On the boulevard
yeah.
part, yep.
And so finding space was such a priority. And so there was debate over where that should be and argument and controversy and, you know, drama,
right.
which we all saw on social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. And so Red Lake Nation, of all the people, right, stepped forward and said, we have this property we're going to develop. They've been planning it for a while, right? The story, I think, was in the Circle a couple years ago even about this development where they want to do housing and services and a clinic. And they offered that space for the winter camp.
One of the poorest nations in the country stepping up.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this like, just like a big parking lot or?
Well, right now it has buildings in it. Right? And they need to be leveled. There are concerns around the environmental, like the soil is not good. So that needs to be cleaned out. But in the meantime, they're talking about laying a layer of asphalt to provide protection. And it's really like developing how this should look. I mean, in my mind, right? I mean, I was in Standing Rock, I mean, exactly 2 years ago, right now in this, like today.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it's like, give me some property and we'll Standing Rock it, right? I mean,
right.
we'll just make a call out, we'll mobilize, bring help,
right.
and we will set up a winter camp. That was in my head the whole time.
Right.
And now it's become like systemized, right?
Right.
Because we need funding and resources. So the state and the county and the city, who's been really remarkable. I do want to do a little shout out for the city.
Okay.
Because I know there's been a lot of complaints about not doing enough, but I, in my position as MUD chair, have been had the opportunity to see what's been going on in the background.
Yeah.
And they have been working like overtime, weekends, right? Really directing an effort when it's not their job, right?
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. in the government system, the county is the one responsible for housing.
Right.
And homelessness. I mean, that's where the homeless prevention group is, right?
The boy mayor seems sincere.
You know, have we ever heard a mayor say this is Dakota land before,
no.
right? Or say land or housing is a fundamental right,
right.
of a human?
Right.
You know, yeah, we call him the boy mayor, but maybe that's what we needed, right? Is someone
the
who isn't thinking.
The boy wonder mayor.
Yeah, right? yeah, it's been surreal, right? I mean, my phone rings. I'm like, Jacob Fry? What? When in my life did I think the mayor would just be randomly calling me, right?
Right.
But so this property now, they're saying it will be mid-December before it's ready. So we're all concerned about that. My concerns about Hiawatha remain because they plow Hiawatha into that sound wall, right? I mean, and Cedar Exit.
Right.
The wind, there's no protection. It faces the north and the east, which is where the coldest wind comes
right.
from, right? So, and they're in summer tents out there
yeah.
right now. No matter how many tarps you put over them, you know, so now it's like how fast could we maybe expedite that or what could we do with them in the meantime, right? Would somebody give us money for hotels or I don't know right now. I mean, it really is a moving target.
Mm.
Or do we mobilize, right? I mean, do we do a call out and say we need help to winterize where we're at right now while we're building this other, you know, facility? Come help us. Or ideally give us land. I mean, someone else could give us land, too, that's usable right now.
Tina, I heard something on the news today. They were talking about, and I don't know where this came from, but they were talking about maybe some trailers,
mm-hmm.
like FEMA trailers? Anything, you heard anything about that?
Yeah, there was talk right away from the city to use FEMA trailers, mostly because the land is bad, right? I mean, the soil, to get them up off the ground.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's renting the trailers. Now, I know FEMA trailers can have a bad rap because they're supposed to be used for temporary situations like this. And unfortunately for many of our families and relatives, like especially in South Dakota, right, they became permanent housing. And then as they started to break down, the things like asbestos and stuff that were in them
mm-hmm.
started affecting people. I don't believe that would be a problem in the new situation, but I also feel like if you're going to invest money, why wouldn't you buy something or make something that you could use later? Like a tiny home to me on a trailer hitch.
Right. Uh-huh.
What's the difference between that and a FEMA trailer, except that once I've built the tiny home, I can move it around. And maybe create a tiny home community on an empty lot somewhere.
There is a place like that somewhere in the world. I don't know if it's in the Netherlands or something, but they do have a tiny house homeless community. I think it's actually built for veterans. So,
yeah, Milwaukee actually has a veteran
one. Okay, okay.
Seattle has them. Oregon has them. Salt Lake City, Arizona, Texas. They're definitely a response people are using. And usually it is for like veterans, or I think for the Native community, it makes a lot of sense, especially for our chronics, you know, who don't go into shelter, don't go into treatment because they want to stay together as a unit. I mean, they're in community.
Yep. Right.
Why not let them be in community and give them a safe place to sleep?
Yes.
Even if they're still using, even if they use themselves to death, at least someone's caring for them,
right.
And they're not alone under a freeway, right? No one should be there.
The word's humanity.
What? Exactly.
There are relatives, regardless of their condition right now.
Right.
And maybe a little kindness like that would give them hope to change and want something better in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Or if not, it doesn't matter. It's self-determination should be what defines housing, not policy, procedure, and finances.
Well, we're going to be ready for that call out because we've all been to Standing Rock, everyone in this room, and we understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people will come and help as they did in Standing Rock. And I think there's people right now waiting for the word.
I think so too.
Pini Gigi, Bettina Park, Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, for being here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to have What Does My Elder Think?
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotment, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we're going to be talking to Uncle Curtis, to whatever comes to his mind. This is What Does My Elder Think?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Solar Bear, solar power for Minnesota. Visit solarbear.earth and Ho-Chunk Nation. Let me say that over again. Ho-Chunk Nation, the people of the sacred voice.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Pini Gigi, for being here as always. Choka, tell us your name and what's on your mind.
Ho, Pini Gigi Chuske and Chujunk and Patina. My name is Mashke Hanazinga. I walk on the white clouds. My colonized name is Curtis West. And, you know, as usual, I got to say hello to my baby girl, you know. So, hi, Kim. Love you.
Hi, Kim.
And I want to say ha-ho to my family, relatives, and friends in four directions. I pray all is well, you know. So what I like about this part of the show, you know, they let me kind of lighten up the load on things, you know. It's serious business, and we like that, you know. So I just try to lighten it up a little bit. So Chuske lets me go ahead and give some shout-outs, some birthdays, and some events. So I'd like to start off with the birthdays. Happy birthday to Junior Trejo, he retired man from the West Side Band, and relative of mine down in God's country, Jenny Walker. I want to say ha-ho to her. And then I got a new relative over here. His name's Cheyenne. Was born on the 26th of this month. So happy birthday to the new relative.
Ah-ho.
And, you know, there's a few, like I said, when they let me ask about and say birthdays to elders, there's a lot of them out there that are like maybe an hour, 20 minutes older than me, but you know, they're my elders, you know, so I got to look at it like that, you know. So we're gonna have to say happy birthday down to God's country again to Brian DeCora, Henry Hank Swan, Marilyn White Rabbit, and Elaine White Rabbit.
Wait, I have one real quick.
Okay.
He's a great elder, and he's really close to our heart. His name is Curtis West. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Curtis.
Oh.
Pina Gigi. Now I'm really an elder now. So
yeah.
Like,
they don't even check your ID now. We just get in the front row.
Even at a whole country buffet, they don't even ask me they just give me that discount.
Goodwill, you've been getting that discount at the Hoo-Ah for many years.
Yeah, so we want to get some shout-outs.
Happy birthday.
Hey, Pina Gigi. Yeah, so we can get some shout-outs, man. I really enjoyed myself down there in Wabasha, Minnesota. Went down to the Eagle Center down there, and Larry Yazzie had a couple of his dancers down there from Native Pride Dancers, and did that Sacred Eagle dance, and I really like it, man. And I'll tell you more about that later on. But a shout-out to Crystal Moose.
Uh-oh.
Shout-out to Barry Hand. And, of course, I got to give a shout-out to my brother James Allen Cross.
Yeah.
You know, NH, you know, so.
Boots on the ground.
And thank you, Chuske. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm going to say Pina Gigi for all my heartfelt birthday wishes, you know. So I say Pino on that.
And, what was your favorite gift?
Geez, man, I can't tell you that one right now, but there's a few good ones I got.
It wasn't that dinner that I was supposed to buy you, was it?
Hey, that was right on the I was going to say them, but that was right one of them. But I want to say hi to my weeha down there, Alyssa Kane. You know, she got her Indian name this weekend, you know.
Yeah. So
it was a cool event, and thank you, Wendy and Robert, for showing up on that, you know. So.
And there was an eagle flying over our head when you were giving her name. And
that was amazing. I just thought it was really a miracle that that happened. Couldn't even believe it.
On cue.
It was sweet.
It was on cue.
So anyway, we got some events coming up too. So of course, you know, like Robert says, you know, language is very important to all nations, you know. So The beginner's class is going to be for Ho-Chunk is going to be on Monday at 5:30, and the advanced is Thursday at 6 o'clock. And, you know, they say, you know, you can bring a, something to share.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you don't, there's always plenty of food. And just like the old people say, just bring your feed bag and just come and enjoy, you know. So, but the other event coming up here, too, is October 8th at Augsburg College in Minneapolis. It's Eagle and Condor from Standing Rock Res. The reception starts at 6 p.m.
That's a movie, right?
Aho.
Aho.
And then October 6th is, 6th and 7th is an Indigenous Peoples Day Festival. Saturday it starts at 11, Sunday it starts at 5 at Native American Council Development Institute. It's at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis. All my relatives is hosting awareness and provide education of Native American artists. And the headliner is supposed to be our good favorite man is Superman.
You know, he's been a guest.
Native rapper and fancy
musician.
Dancer and all that, you know. But if you get a chance to see him, you'll be truly amazed. And then
in some of our syndicated shows, I play his music during the commercial breaks.
That's
so
right.
That's awesome.
And see him live is really awesome. But Crystal Norcross will be one of the keynote speakers up there.
You know, Crystal.
And then, like I said, our time schedule is kind of different on things, but I have to bring this up on September 29th from 12 to 4 o'clock. They're going to have for the Indian People's Day, Indigenous People's Day, they're having a prep for the parade. You know,
they're going to make a big Ho-Chunk float.
That's what they said, and they said their food will be provided. And then another one's coming up is October 4th. Let's Be Heard. It's a MN350's gala for climate justice. 5:30 to 9:30 at the Aria Event Center. That's at 105 West First Street, Minneapolis.
If I can blow my own horn, I'm a board member of MN350, and it's going to be an exciting night. And I know Choka and Wendy and a few of our sponsors are going to be there on a table right up in front, hopefully.
And then there's another good one I'd want to give a shout out to. It's on October 2nd, and that's going to be it's going to go from October 2nd to December 25th, and it's hoop dance lessons. Mm-hmm. All ages are welcome, and they said, no charge, it's free, but they said any child, you know, and teenagers and younger like that, they got to be accompanied by an adult.
That's awesome. Dega, you know, every week sometimes you have wisdom things that you say, like an elder saying or a gaga. Do you have anything for us this week?
Yes, thank you, Chuzunka. I got a gaga for you. And, you know, gaga and Ho-Chunk, you know, a little kid will call gaga, that's grandma. It's kunika to an adult, but, you know, my grandma walked on a long time ago, but I'm still a little kid, so I call her Gaga. So she said to me one time, she says, like, right now it's a kind of a perfect time, you know, because people are out gathering things. When you go out to gather, you know, be it berries, sage, corn, whatever, you know, always offer prayers with Dani, which is a tobacco, and that's to show much respect to our Creator.
We have sage growing in our backyard, and we make sure we do that every time we cut it down and gift it to people.
And I got one more thing to say before, and I'm going to keep saying this until, because it's getting close. Reminder, Halloween is coming up. It said, don't be an Indian. Don't be a Native princess. Don't wear a headdress. And don't use Native culture as a costume.
Perfect way to end this show and segment. You know, also, we're going to be marching in St. Paul next week, too, for the Native American Indigenous Day, and that's exciting. My homeroom will be there, and they're all really good Native Americans. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you've been listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops Crow, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I want to thank my guests, Bettina Park, along with Wendy and Choka Curtis. We are still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.